Take a moment and go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, this is a time of celebration. We come to you with great praise and great joy for the servant that you have delivered, for the shepherd you have delivered to us, your servant, our shepherd. Father God, we started this search, and we went to you, and we said, Father, send us the person who you have called, who you have placed Richmond Community Church of God on their heart, and you've delivered him to us. Father, we thank you. In this time of praise, we want to remember that our focus is ultimately upon you, and we want to look towards you in all that we do. As we are about to charge our new pastor into shepherding this flock, into guiding this flock, into leading this flock, we also want to remember that he leads listening to your voice. Thank you so much, Father. We do this in the name of your Son. Amen.
I'd like to welcome all of you here this evening on behalf of the Pulpit Search Committee and to the celebration that we're having of the gift that God has sent us in Pastor Jeff and Rebecca and the children. I also wanted to acknowledge and thank each member of the Pulpit Committee who did work on this project and try to discern God's will for our church. And also, it would not have been possible without the prayers. If you remember, at the beginning of this process, we asked for several of you to covenant with us in prayer and to cover us with prayer as we went through this process, including the surveys and the tabulations and the writing of mission statements and the whole process of trying to discern God's will for our church. And without your prayer support, none of this would have been possible. And I also want to thank the people in the state office. The secretaries were great, Pastor Dave and Pastor Chuck, who operated as our liaison, was a great support, meeting with us and talking with us at various times. And we have a special thanks to our own pastoral staff who filled the gap, who led us in worship each and every Sunday, who ably filled the pulpit, and were always here for us. And without that, we would have been in a sad situation. But we truly want to welcome each one of you now and enjoy with us the celebration that we're having now with the installation of Pastor Jeff and Rebecca. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Schrout, and it's my privilege to serve you as your executive coordinator for the Churches of God in Oregon and Southwest Washington. And all 51 of our, the other 50 of our congregations want to welcome both of you to our district. And we're just excited that this church has come together and has selected leadership. And I want to offer my congratulations to your pulpit committee. This church, we've had a rash of pastors resign. Yours was the last one to fall, and yours the first one to fill. So, good job! That is exciting. And so, Jeff and Rebecca, we want to welcome you, and on behalf of all the other ministers, we have about 197 ministers in our district. We want you to come and be a part of us, be a part of the team, and just enjoy the fellowship of our ministers. I honestly believe, Layman, you probably don't know this, but when our ministers come to you and say, you know, how was your day? How are you doing? That's not Greek for how many did you have in church on Sunday morning. If our pastors want to know that, they will say, what was your attendance on Sunday morning? When they come to you and say, how are you doing? They really want to know, how are you doing? These guys and gals, they just love each other, love being together. And so, church, I would encourage you to help him be a part of this. Allow him to come to our minister's retreat and to our be a part of our SHAPE program and come to all the events that we do. Give him that freedom and opportunity to do that. It will serve you well as he comes and joins his heart together with us. So once again, thank you and welcome to the Great Northwest.
The red book in front of you, the hymnals, turn to page 5. Let's all stand and sing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done."
Reading from Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11. It was God who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Moving over to 1 Timothy, Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he manage God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Friends, our scripture has been fulfilled.
Good evening. My name is Val Watkins. I am the youth pastor here. I've been at Richmond Community Church. It's been about 8 years now. It's a long time. I've been asked tonight to share with you a little bit about Pastor Jeff, kind of a biography. Some of you will know all this because we've talked about it as a church, as we were planning and doing things. But just to give you a little bit about Pastor Jeff, he was born about 30 years ago in October of 77. He is the son of Stephen and Marilyn McCoy. He's shaking his head. I don't have anything written here, so I'm not reading, okay? He grew up in a little bit here in Oregon, down in California. He's been in Alaska growing up there. He met Rebecca, and they met in a Taco Bell. Right? She's shaking her head. Yeah. They met in Taco Bell back in high school. They were married, and some of you know this about Jeff. He was actually a quarterback on a football team. People say he was good enough to go pro. And he was playing quarterback as the leader of the team, playing quarterback in high school and in college. And he felt God's calling in his life. And so he decided to be a leader somewhere else. And he kind of walked away from football, joined the ministry, and was working as a youth pastor, as a pastor of worship and arts. Most recently, before coming here, he was down in California with his parents for a while. But before that, he was in Anchorage, up in Alaska, serving as the pastor of worship and arts. It was actually in December that he resigned that position and just really felt God calling him into the ministry to be a senior pastor. So about the time our senior pastor left, he was leaving Alaska. He should have just stopped on the way through. And when Pastor Doug had announced that he was leaving, we got together as an advisory council and decided we need to put together a search committee. I was put on the search committee. Asked to be on the committee as part of the staff and to help represent the church. And I said yes. And as a search committee, we sent out a survey. And many of you got to fill that survey out. And part of that, being part of the search committee, we decided we wanted to really, really grasp hold of what you wanted. And we went through all the surveys. And then we got in these resumes and we kind of set deadlines for things I wanted to do. And actually, in the deadlines, we got everything together and we had three candidates that we were working with, and we went before the staff and said, these are the three candidates we wanted. And it was at the meeting when the search committee was meeting with the staff that we got in this extra resume. And we already had three of them picked out, and we were kind of pursuing those three. And I just really, really felt impressed by God to say, give this guy a call. We had actually written him off, and it was almost 2 weeks had gone by before I did this. So one night when the Thursday night Bible study group was meeting for dinner, I actually got on the phone and called Pastor Jeff and spent over an hour on the phone with him, just talking. And it was really good. It was a good time. I got off the phone totally excited, and the process went on and on. We talked with him as a search committee. We actually sat down and met and went over his resume a little bit more and talked about it. We actually got on the phone and spent a phone conversation with him on a Saturday morning, early afternoon, just talking with him. We got to get to know a little bit more about him, and we just really felt it was time to proceed and to move forward with that. The short of it, he actually flew up here one time, and we got to meet with him as leaders, as advisory council, and as the trustees, and then we eventually flew his family up here, and they candidated. And you all got to meet him, and he preached that Sunday, and we had a potluck with him. All that to say, it is just a blessing. It really is a blessing, Pastor Jeff, to have you here, to get to know you, to have you as our leader. He and Rebecca are married. You all know that. They have three children. The oldest one is Ethan. He's looking now. Ethan is six. There's Tyler, who is four, and Hannah, who is three. So that is a little bit about them. It is just amazing how God has actually worked and kind of brought our paths together and allowed you to be our senior pastor. And I am truly blessed to be standing up here during your installation service. So thank you. Thank you.
You know, I was here this morning and I heard the pastor say, new things are going to happen here at Richmond. And I just saw it. This guy was in a suit. It's already begun. It's unbelievable. And he looks mighty fine. I was going to say hot, but we shouldn't say that in church. I changed the bulletin around just a little bit, I hope, because, you know, as we get called to share in these installation services, we try and do the best we can, and we try and get informed, and what can we say to, in my position tonight, to challenge you as a congregation. I ran across, and I think this is something old, Dave, but I ran across these 16 suggestions by a congregational layman. Have you seen these? And I thought, wow, here I am, you know, retired pastor. I know I'd like what to like to tell you guys. But you know something? Coming from a layman, and I thought, wow, I'm going to read this and allow this be something that I would pray that each one of you could come up here and say these same words, because this is what it's going to take to fulfill what your pastor shared this morning in his message about what's going to transform Richmond Community Church of God. Let me just read this to you. This is a layman's challenge to you, a congregation. And I would pray that one of you could do this as well. Listen to these words. He says, when a congregation such as ourselves call a pastor, it is time for reminding ourselves of the beauty God intends for that relationship. The Apostle Paul reminds us of what can be expected when the church, the body of Christ, is functioning as the Lord intended. And then he quotes Ephesians 4:16, the Living Bible. Under his direction, the whole body is fitly together perfectly, and each part is its own special way, helps the other parts, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And then just quickly, I will give you these 16 suggestions. He says, number one, we need to recognize that we have chosen a servant. So let him serve. Recognize that we have chosen a leader. So let us let him lead. We have chosen a man of God. Let's help him remain so. Recognize that we have chosen a leader. We need to honor him as such. Remember, too, that he has a family. Respect his desire to give them the time and the attention they need. Although our pastor is available any time we need him, try to limit our calls and contacts with him in normal working hours of the day. But in emergencies, do not hesitate. He would want us to call. I like these so far. Remember that our pastor, like every person, needs to feel appreciated. And we have set aside sort of the month of August for pastor appreciation, October. I missed it every year. No wonder. I was looking for it in October, and I went right by me. In October. I think you do that here, but folks, we need appreciation. We appreciate them in small ways all year long, but especially in October. Here's another one. Let's give our pastor the chance to test new ideas. Let's don't take upon ourselves to be responsible for quenching new ideas. Recognizing the value of meetings and retreats planned for our pastor's own spiritual growth, we need to make sure that he's able to attend these meetings. We will benefit in return. Let's be optimistic about our pastor. He's growing just like the rest of us. Be conscientious regarding our pastor's physical, spiritual, and financial needs. Don't let our pastor and his family feel the loneliness of ministry. Include them whenever possible. Let them know that they have a friend in us. He has come to think of the church as people. May we always think of him as a person and never a machine or a hireling. I like that. I'll tell you what really impressed me when Val stood up here and he said one thing that Pastor Dave and I always speak when a pastor is being interviewed for a position of pastoral leadership, that you felt a call upon your life. You didn't just decide to go into ministry, you felt a call. And that's a divine call. And what a blessing you're going to be to this church. And quickly, for his own emotional health, we need to recognize his needs for hobbies and recreation. I hear you're already doing that. That's great. Remember that he represents all of us, not himself, but the Christ of God. Our response will not be to him, but to the master of both of us. I like that. Show by our practices and lives of prayers our willingness to follow the one whom he is so willing to follow. And they put at the end here, finally remember the unity of God's people is our sacred responsibility. Acts 4:32 says, now the company of those who believe were of one heart and soul. The unity of Christ's people is a testimony to the world. I tell you folks, if there's any way that I could charge you, these words that I just shared with you, coming from a layman who understands what it is to be the body of Christ, should be a challenge to all of us. We have something I'd like to put on. Can you see this? Can you read that? It's pretty small, but do you think you can read that if I ask you to read it out loud? Can you all stand for a moment? You notice I went you all. Some of you might be from the South. Let's read together, and I'd have you respond that this is something that, why don't you glance at it and read it if you can from where you're at first. If you do that, just sort it to yourself. And I'm going to read it out loud as well. I'm sorry, I was going to say, if you can't do this, sit down. But if you're willing to do this and you stand before God with all you can do with God's Spirit, let's read this together as a response. We affirm our commitment to Christ and his servants. We are workers together. We affirm that we will bring honor to Christ as we honor his called ones. We pledge to give more than kind words. We pledge hard work. We commit ourselves to the stewardship of keeping promises. We will pray for Pastor McCoy and his family, as well as provide the resources such as fair wages and tools for effective service and excellence. We pledge to be affirmers and partners in kingdom work. We truly believe ministry is mutual, and we joyfully enter into partnership with God's church and God's anointed. Can we all say amen? Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, congregation.
Hi, I'm Marv Allen Brown. I'm the chairman of the Board of Trustees here at Richmond Community Church. And I'm not sure what to add to what's already been done and said, other than to say that as the chair of the Board of Trustees and representing the other Board of Trustees members, we are responsible for the financial business of the church. And from that, you may think that, well, we hold the purse strings. In essence, no, we don't. You do. We are your representatives elected by you. And so, as representatives, we want to use our best stewardship abilities to properly represent you. And in so doing, on your behalf, the Board of Trustees commit to take care of and provide for Jeff, Rebecca, and the children. And in order to do that, we need you. Not just financially, certainly financially, but as a congregation, we need you to support them as well with your efforts, your work, your attendance, your abilities, your skills, your gifts. We also need to support them with your encouragement. We also, especially and most importantly, need you to support them with your prayers. We need to make sure that they are taking care of financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And as a board, we commit to do that, and I hope you as members of the congregation will commit to do that as well.
My privilege to greet you a second time, and my responsibility now is to bring a charge to your pastor. We have brought a charge to the congregation, and you have responded, and so I have 5 points. Most sermons are 3 points. This is 5 points. This charge really is my personal mission statement. It has taken me, 55 years to come to that conclusion. Sometimes I'm slower than I look. Maybe not. I don't know how that works. But there are 5 things, just like if you're from Michigan, you say, where you live, they can tell you where they live. There are 5 things I want you to hang on to that I want to charge you with. First of all, Pastor Jeff, I want to charge you to fall deeply in love with God. Deeply in love with God. To love Him, as Deuteronomy 6:5 says, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. To spend that time in devotions, not for the sermon preparation, but for the preparation for Jeff's life. To spend that time before the Lord in prayer, not only for the congregation, but for your children. And congregation, I would ask you to pray for him once a day. I have a pastor. His name is Steve Dow. I pray for him every morning at 7 a.m. My alarm goes off on my watch, and I pray for my pastor. It's not long, it's not elaborate, but it's daily. And I would encourage you to do that. So, Pastor Jeff, fall in love with the Lord. Number two, love that beautiful lady sitting next to you. She is your helpmate. God has chosen her to come alongside of you and bless you and love you and care for you. So you care for her. You love her as Christ loved the church. Now, I have a personal rule that if you use her as in a sermon illustration without asking her first, you have to buy her a new dress. I always talk to my wife first now. I want to encourage you to date her, to court her. One day, it doesn't seem possible, but those 3 children will get in your car and go to college. I know, our car went to college too. They will leave you. One day, God will take you from this place of ministry to someplace else. And it's just going to be you too. Love her. Care for her now. It will serve you quite well. The third item I have on my list is to love those kids. Be a great dad to them. In congregation, this is where you can help him. When you call the office and the secretary says he's at a T-ball game, celebrate that. This last January, I was asked to teach a class for our how-to convention on how to have a good pastor's family. Scared me to death to do that. What I did is I sat down and I asked my children, I said, Laura, Ryan, and Rebecca, what'd we do right and what'd we do wrong? The right things, that takes courage. The right things, they said, is that you were at our games. You were at our concerts. You were there for us in the middle of the night when we were sick. You stood up for us when the world attacked us. You were there. That's what they will remember. Your children, if you're like me, I love the layman's kids, but I want my kids to be in heaven as well. So spend time with them, love them, care for them. Now, we have gone through loving God, loving your wife, and loving your kids. What do you think this next one is? Take care of yourself. Take good care of Jeff. Eat right. Sleep right. Exercise right. Take good care of yourself. Because if 1 through 4 are not in harmony, number 5 is to take care of this flock. And if 1 through 4 are not in harmony, number 5 is not going to be very effective. So take good care of yourself. Take good care of your children. Take good care of your wife. Love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And then love these people. I want you to know something. They're not perfect. But they're great. They're loving and they're caring. And they need a leader and a shepherd. So love them. Feed them every day, every Sunday morning, out of the newness that comes in your heart, the new growth. Don't recycle sermons, and don't go on the internet on Saturday night and get somebody else's fire. They say there's 2 most inspiring things for a pastor is Saturday night and Sunday morning. Let it come from your heart. Let it come from your heart. Love them. God has given them to you, and you'll never forget them. They will minister to you in ways that you know not of now. Care for them. And when they celebrate your departure, not your death, but your departure, they will say, "I remember when you were at my bedside. I remember when you buried my family members. I remembered when you walked with me through tough times." That's the joy of pastoring. That's what I miss. So you're one of my congregations now. So I want to love you too and take care of both of you. And as you're the executive coordinator, love you. So 5 things to remember. Hang on to them. I charge you in the name of the Lord. God bless.
Well, thank you, thank you. Those are good words. How do I even follow that? I don't even know what to say. Thank you so much for all of you being here. I know on a Sunday night, many of you could have done several other things, but you chose to come down here and charge me and support our family, and I recognize that, and I honor that, and I say thank you to every individual person here that has taken time out of your day. I want to read for you. I've been thinking a lot about what to say, you know, how to respond, especially to a charge like that, and for all of you showing up here and supporting me. But I think I got it here, and I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5. I don't have my mic. I need to stay here, don't I, Tim? I like that. It's okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. And this is really my heart. And I'm just going to share from my heart just for a little bit, and then I'll get off the stage. But I take pastoring and shepherding and overseeing very seriously. It's a tremendous responsibility, not only spiritually, but also with what pastors do and what overseers do within the church. It requires our utmost respect and our utmost effort to pastor a church, to shepherd a church. And I take this very seriously. And I also know, and here I'm just going to kind of share from my heart, I know that it was somewhat of a risk for you to hire a guy who has never been a senior pastor before. You know, it's my first time being a senior pastor. Hopefully you all know that, right? It's not... Oh, by the way... No, it's... And I respect that. And that says a lot about you. And that's one of the reasons why, as Rebecca and I were praying through this, I could sense, just when talking with Val and some of the different people, I could sense that the church here is full of faith. They're absolutely full of faith. And I as we were praying, you know, I got very attracted to a church that is full of faith. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for taking a risk and for calling me and even just praying about Rebecca and myself coming up here to shepherd you and to lead you. I realize that you probably had many candidates. In fact, nobody really actually shared how many, but you went with me, and I thank you for that. And I consider that a great honor. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 really sums up a conviction in my life as I read this and as I think about shepherding the church. It says this: "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men," I think I'm included in that, so I'll take "young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." How many of you know we need a lot of grace? I know I do. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And I take that passage of Scripture, and I say to myself, Jeff, if you are going to lead a church, you need to be very faithful with the people that God gives you. And I believe that, and I hold that a conviction in my heart. And I want to be, I only have four things here, Dave. I have four things that I could sum up. If I went over every reason why I believe God has called me into ministry, there's many, numerous reasons. I remember sitting in a sanctuary similar to this at 13 years old in First Church of God in Santa Maria on Elizabeth Street, and praying, "God, send me into the ministry. I saw my youth pastor, Val. I saw my youth pastor. I said, I want to do what he wants to do. And I had a burden for that, and I began to pray that he would send me into ministry. And, you know, even in football, experiencing football and being playing football, the scriptures say that the harvest is plentiful, right? But the workers are few. How many people want to go be star athletes and everything else? Like numerous, tons of guys are trying to do that. Not a lot of guys are trying to sign up for ministry and senior pastor positions. The Lord needs the workers. He needs the workers to serve his church. And that was just a confirmation in my heart that the Lord was calling me into ministry. And I wanted to answer that, and it was scary, and it was a big step, but I have not regretted one day being in the ministry. Not a single one. I love, and I said this, and I'm just kind of sharing from my heart, if that's okay. I love serving in ministry. I absolutely love ministry. Are there hard days? Absolutely, there are. Things are not always easy, that's for sure, but I enjoy what I do. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy serving God's church and being available to the people of God. And I want to do that. So I've come up with four things that I desire as your pastor here. And the first one is I want to be able, as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, to lead the sheep to green grass. Okay? To lead the sheep to green grass and to be responsible for feeding the sheep through preaching, through teaching, through Bible study, through making sure that the church is growing, that you're getting the food that you need on a Sunday morning and throughout the week. I want to be responsible for that, and I believe the Lord holds me responsible to that. That's the first thing. The second thing that I really want to hold myself to, and I'm asking you to hold me to it, is I want to be responsible for equipping the people of God. And if Pastor Joel just read that in Ephesians, equipping the people of God for works of service. I want to be able to give you the tools and the resources and the support system that you need. You know, I'm standing here today, and I think all of us can say this, that we stand here today, and the reason we are here is because there are people who have supported us up until this point. I didn't get here alone. You got to be kidding me. No way. I had people that surrounded me and loved me in the good times and the bad. They loved me when I was Superman, but they also accepted me when I was Clark Kent, you know. And I want to give that to you, and I want to equip you, and I want to teach you, and I want to do everything I can in my power as a pastor to make sure that you're growing in your walk with the Lord and to give you the tools and the resources you need, just like other people have given to me. I want to carry that on. The third thing that I greatly desire to do, if I could put this at one of the top of the lists, is to pray for you. Be dedicated praying for you. There's probably perhaps no greater gift than I can give you as a pastor than to pray for the sheep. Pray for the flock of God. And I want to do that, and I want to dedicate myself to that. And in my schedule, if you want to ask me what I do in my schedule, I'm more than willing to hand it to you. There might be some T-balls in there as well, and there might be some things with the family. There will be. I shouldn't say there might be. There will be. But you can guarantee that when you ask me, are you praying for me, I can honestly say, yes, I am praying for you. I am praying that God blesses you and that he ministers to you and that he shows up, like we talked about this morning, in your life and does a great work in your life. I'm praying for you. You need a pastor that prays for you. And I want to do that. I want to make that commitment to you. And then finally, the fourth thing, and Pastor Dave talked on this, is caring for you, caring for the flock of God. I want to care. You know, when you go to... You alluded to this a little bit, but when you go to a cemetery and you see a gravestone and you see the number, right? The year that they were, the first number is the year that they were born, the last number is the year that they passed on, but there's a dash, right? Right in the middle of that. And I think about that dash a lot because that dash really says a lot about the person. What did they do in that dash? It's funny that we just put a dash there, but really the majority of the things that we do and who we are is in that dash. And I'm going to teach on this actually next year. It's called the dash. But in the dash of my ministry here at Richmond, I want people to be able to say, Jeff honestly cared for us. He cared. He cared. And I want to give that to you because I do care. I don't say that out of formality, and that's the pastor thing to say. I really do want to learn to care for you. And so those are the four things that I could say as a pastor I want to really prioritize for the Richmond Community Church. And I thank you for calling us. I thank you for calling me. Rebecca, we are ecstatic. I mean, we're excited about what God is going to be doing here, what he already has done here, but what he's going to be doing here in the future, in the near future and the distant future. We are excited. Are you? I don't know if you are. Yeah. We sense that, and we know that God has good days in store for us. So thank you so much, and I love you all, and I'm done. So.
Take your hymn books one more time. Your hymn books one more time. Turn to page 225. 225, Faith for Thy Service.
up for the joy in the Lord, and he fills my heart with rapture as I rest on his word. I will trust in his promise, I will shout. I am free in my blessed, loving Savior. I have sweet victory. There is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory, there is joy.
Belongs all glory, honor, and dominion. And Father, as we gather here tonight as your family, as suggested before, all with our special and unique gifts, service, but yet all very important to the body of Christ. Today, as we share in this celebration, God, we really believe what your Spirit has directed and ordained, and that is that this family come to be the shepherd of this flock. And Father, we thank you for his response who demonstrates love, not only for you, God, but for your people, for his family. And it is our prayer, Father, that as we gather here tonight, that we all be one of the glory, that this is of God. And that if there's anything in our lives or our minds that would question that, that we might be reassured by what we heard tonight, that this is a moving of your Spirit. So first, for our pastor Jeff, it is our prayer that to call upon his wife in this season of ministry, you would anoint him for whatever endeavors for your kingdom work might be accomplished through him. May he be found faithful. May he be found on his knees. May he be found serving. And may he also be found always expressing by his life, his words, his actions, of Christ Jesus that dwells within him. And for his family, we certainly pray for his wife, his health. It is my prayer for Rebecca that we continue to strengthen her, that her season at this time is going to be wonderful children. And we pray that you would just anoint her in a special way, that she would care for them, teach them, and disciple them in things of their God. It is my prayer you protect these children. And Father, it is our prayer that this congregation agrees that this family is here because God has sent them. And Father, we ask you to watch over and protect them. And now it is our extreme privilege to recognize that this man and this woman and this family is representing the Richmond Church of God in this community, and they are the pastors of the Richmond Community Church of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, thank you.
I want to thank you all very much for showing up at this special evening, this special time when we welcome, officially welcome, Pastor Jeff and Rebecca and their family here as we install them as our new senior pastor and look forward to what God has in store for us. I do have one announcement. Did anybody bring a camera? We got one. Good. We'd like to take some pictures. I don't have a camera with me, and we'd like to get a couple pictures. Some of them will go into contact. Some of you will get the contact, the state newspaper, and just so we can have a record of this. You're all invited. After we're done praying, if you kind of go down this hallway, make your way down the stairs. You can have people to show you the way. We have some cake and some refreshments, and we invite you to come down and celebrate with us this very special occasion. So let's pray. Father, just thank you. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful time.
Amen.
When we as a congregation can get together and say thank you. Lord, thank you so much for bringing Pastor Jeff and Rebecca to lead us. Father, thank you for the work that has been done in the past, but thank you for the future. The future is bright. We are excited, Father, about doing your work here in Richmond. Father, thank you for all the people who have come over here today to celebrate this time with us. Thank you for their presence. Father, I pray your blessings upon them. Bless them for being here. Father, as we close this time of our service, I just pray that you go with us. Allow us to always be in your presence. Allow us to feel your leading and to follow you. Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.